Today I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'd like to read verses 3 through 11, though verse 11 will be what we will focus on. And today I want to read from the New Living Translation. Verse 3, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with His comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. And He did rescue us from mortal danger, and He will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in Him, and He will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety." Why pray? What good does prayer do? Is my life going to be any better because I pray? Why bother to pray or do anything if it doesn't seem to make a difference? You can spend your whole life building something from nothing. One storm can come and blow it all away. What do? You build it anyway. You can chase a dream that seems so out of reach, and you know it might not ever come your way. What do? You dream it anyway. This world's gone crazy. It's hard to believe that tomorrow will be better than today. What do? Believe it anyway. You can love someone with all your heart for all the right reasons. In a moment, they can choose to walk away. What do? Love them anyway. God is great, but sometimes life ain't good. And when I pray, it doesn't always turn out like I think it should. But I do it anyway. I love this song by Martina McBride, recorded back in 2007. I love it because it just overflows with a sense of a solid faith, persistent faith, enduring patience, perseverance. Even if I don't see what good it might do, even if I don't feel that I'm getting anything out of it, I'm going to do what I know is right. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to pray because I know it's right. And for many of you, prayer is just like that. You just do it, even when it doesn't turn out like you think it should. You do it anyway. But from time to time, some of us get stuck over what is called the problem of prayer. And perhaps this is more common among those of us who are Reformed or Calvinistic. You know, if God is sovereign and He's going to do what He wants to do, why bother to pray about it? If God has ordained all that will ever come to pass, why pray? And if God knows everything already, if He's truly omniscient and knows all things and knows what we need before we ask, why bother to ask. Why pray? We all know the short answer. God tells us to. It just seems right. End of story. But God loves us too much to just leave it like that. He doesn't tell us everything about how prayer works. It will always remain a wonderful and mysterious thing. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11, in this almost offhanded comment by the Apostle Paul, we learn something about why we should pray. And now reading from the English Standard Version, just verse 11, Paul says, "You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." In this one verse, regardless of translation, there are three words that help us understand God's gift of prayer. The first word is help. We pray to get help. You also must help us by prayer. God has already decided what He's going to do, but He's also decided that it's through my prayer and your prayer that He will do what He wants to do and give us what we need, which is help. Now, Paul needed help. The same Paul who wrote Ephesians 1 about God's sovereign election and predestinating love, the same Paul who wrote Romans 8:28 about God causing all that happens to happen for our good, this same Paul needed God's help, and so he prayed. Paul had just experienced some terrible season in his life. We don't know what it was that happened, but for him it was really bad. As we heard from the New Living Translation, verse 8, Paul says, "We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it." Now here's Paul. He was hard at work, doing his best. He had dreams and a clear purpose in life. He was giving himself to his life's calling, helping others, preaching the gospel, teaching the word of God, collecting money for the poor, encouraging the women and men around him. But life certainly didn't turn out like he thought it should. Things started to go wrong, everything at once, and he didn't think he could handle it. He needed help, and so he prayed. And he asked the Corinthians to pray and to keep on praying. He doesn't stop here to analyze the problem of prayer. He just does it. Prayer is just as much a mystery for Paul as it is for us. He doesn't understand how it works, but he does it anyway. He knows that somehow God is going to use his prayer to give him the help that he needs. You and I need help. Have you ever struggled with something in life that was really bad? Something connected to your vocation, your life's work. Difficult people to work with, difficult hours, low pay, few or no benefits, being let go from your job, or your small business is suffering and you don't know if it's going to survive. Have you ever struggled with a relationship? Your marriage didn't turn out the way you thought it should. You loved someone for all the right reasons, but they didn't love you back. Your children aren't living the way you would like them to. Or perhaps there are few or no relationships in your life. You're all alone, shut in, isolated, and all of this social distancing is becoming tedious. Have you ever had trouble getting to sleep? You lie down at night and just lie there wide awake with your mind racing and rehearsing all that could go wrong. Painful memories of your past, some sin that's got hold of you and just won't die, some self-destructive behavior that just won't let up, why not pray and ask God for help? Well, I did. Things didn't turn out like I wanted them to. Well, do it anyway. You know, Paul prayed, and sometimes he didn't get what he wanted. And we have an example of that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this problem that was in his life, this thorn in the flesh, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul didn't get what he wanted, to be set free from whatever problem he was struggling with. But he got what he needed, God's sustaining grace that was more than sufficient to carry him through the struggle he was facing. It's what Martin Luther learned about prayer. Sometimes we ask for silver when God wants to give us gold instead. And so just pray. Cry out for help. You don't have to understand how it works. You don't have to tell God what to do or how to fix your problem. Just reach out and touch God's almighty arm and point to the problem. He knows what to do. Leave it to him. The grace that he will give you will be sufficient for you right here, right now. The second word is the word many, and it occurs twice in verse 11. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Many will give thanks, and God will answer through the prayers of many. Not only does Paul pray, he wants others to pray. He wants many to pray. He wants all of us to pray. He wants the whole church to join together in prayer. Praying together with people and praying for people has this wonderful effect of drawing people closer together. Paul was hurting. He's gone through this bad season of life. He was feeling pretty low. But Paul knows that God can help. I mean, he's the God who raises the dead. Verse 9. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Notice it's not God who raised the dead, reminding us of the resurrection, though that Easter message is certainly in Paul's mind. And he doesn't say God who can raise the dead, though that too is true. He says God who raises the dead, present tense. This is what God does. This is what God is always doing. He's done it in the past. He's doing it for us today. He will do it all the way until the end of the age. Every day, we need a God who raises us up out of our deadness and despair and fills us with hope. And so Paul says, it's on this God that we have set our hope. Verse 10, he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. And then Paul says, you can help me in this. I need your help. Verse 11. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. In other words, Church of God in Corinth, pray for me. I need your help to get God's help. And I would say the same to you today. Church of God in Charleston, pray for me. I need your help to get God's help you also must help me by prayer. And then praying with and for other people has this wonderful effect of drawing people who disagree together. Now, this is the problem that we find in the church at Corinth. People just weren't getting along. We know from 1 Corinthians how bad things were. They were quarreling with one another. They had developed these little cliques. I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter. They were suing each other in the courts. They had some bad attitudes toward one another during the Lord's Supper. They were competing with one another over spiritual gifts. There was an evident lack of love. They were impatient with each other, rude, jealous, bragging, arrogant, easily provoked to anger. They kept a record of the mistakes that people were making, and when something bad happened to someone else, they were secretly glad about it. Now, that's what we hear Paul addressing in 1 Corinthians. The situation in 2 Corinthians is really no better. Here we learn that some of the Corinthians just didn't like Paul. They accused him of saying one thing and doing another. They said he was trying to take advantage of them. They didn't like how he looked. They didn't want to listen to his preaching. His letters were forceful, but in person he looked weak, and what he said was worthless. And these are church people. How in the world do you get people like this to work together? You get them to pray together and to pray for each other. And when they do that, they start caring for one another. Friends, this one thing will radically change your church life. Yes, there may be people who get on your nerves, always complaining about something. They want this or that changed to suit them. You just don't agree with them. And you may not feel like praying that God would bless them. Just do it anyway. Praying with others and praying for others is God's way of helping you and helping all of us to work together, even when we don't see eye to eye. We pray for God's help. We want many to pray for God's help. The third word that we find here in verse 11 is the word thanks. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Many prayers for help by many people means many people giving thanks to God. When we pray and God answers in the way that is best for us, it results in our turning to God and saying, "Thank you." How wrong it would be for us not to thank God for all that He's done and that He continues to do. And so little prayer means little thanks to God. Infrequent prayer means infrequent thanks to God. No prayer means no thanks to God. Now that doesn't sound right, does it? Again, there's much that we don't understand about prayer. Why pray if God is sovereign and He's already decided what He's going to do? Why pray if God already knows everything? If He knows what you and I need before we ask, why bother to ask? There's much that we don't know. But this we do know. We pray, and God will help. We pray with and for others, and we all get helped. God answers our prayer in some way that is best for us all. All of us see it happen, and together we honor Him by thanking Him. Many prayers for God's help by many people means many people giving thanks to God. Begin each and every day with prayer. Thank God for safe and restful sleep. Thank Him for another day of life. Ask him to go with you throughout your day and to help you. Ask him to keep you from all sin and evil. Ask him to help you help others. Pause during the day and ask for his help. When you read his word, when you sit down to eat, when faced with a decision, pray for many others to experience God's help. Form the habit of praying for your neighbors when you see them. Pray for your pastor, your friends at church, especially now that we are forced to stay at home and practice this physical distancing. Pray for your brothers and sisters at Church Creek or your home church, that God would help them, that God would help many, that many people would get help from God and give thanks to God. And then, at the end of each day, gather up all the good things that you've seen God doing and thank him. God is great, but sometimes life ain't good. And when I pray, it doesn't always turn out like I think it should. But I do it anyway. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing that you do and say. Amen.